Previously on Dubious Intent Plus.
So somebody posted a link to what they say is your wish list, which I guess it is. You have some expensive items on there.
Yeah, I honestly did not set this up for people to buy me stuff. This is actually just my personal wish list that I just kind of have things on just because.
Now, I wasn't aware that you wanted a folding quarter.
Oh, yeah, the folding quarter trick.
You don't know how many times I've needed a folding quarter and thought, man, if I only had a folding quarter. Right.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for TI Plus to come screaming at you through today's interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. TI Plus is brought to you by Really Bad Sex Acts on Podcasts. If you want to really get disgusted, just listen to that Monday episode of Big Fatty Online, which was the most hideous thing ever put on the internet ever. And you'll probably need to clean your brain afterwards with some kind of brain bleach. Doesn't matter. Check them out at hideouslybadsexstoriesonapodcast.com. And don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DIPLUS for a mind-erasing discount. Welcome to DIPLUS. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the Really Bad Sex Act on a Podcast Free State of Arkansas, by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
I am sure, hello, Daniel, yes, that I've had some form of really bad sex act on a podcast.
Oh, no.
But not from the state of Arkansas.
No.
So.
No.
So how are you?
Good. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. This. Did you miss the Big Fatty show?
I did.
You missed the Big Fatty show. He was at the Hara Hotel. He's at the Hora Hotel. He's drunk. He's in the room with Granny and Durwood and some trick they
was
picked
Snake
up.
Was Snake there?
No, he had been there, but he was not there then. Okay. So some trick that they had picked up somewhere, who knows who he was, it doesn't matter. They were all really drunk, and I guess Trick Boy was in the sling. And then while Fatty's trying to do the show, I guess Granny and Durwood start having sex with the trick, and it's like, and so you're getting the play by play from Big Fatty, who's like, he's like directing the sex act. It's really like Poodle McNoodle and Fatty like directing. Ah, put some poppers under his nose right over there, and it's just like it was.
What this poor individual
cringe,
was thinking.
Cringe inducing show.
Like, what have I gotten myself into here?
Hold on, Adam. If you're at the Leather Horror Hotel, at a Leather Horror event, and you find yourself in, with assless chaps in a sling in a room with some older gentlemen taking advantage of you, you're probably not thinking what you probably wanted to be there. is all I'm trying to say.
But wait a minute.
This is probably this guy's Friday night. This is probably like his normal Friday night, right?
With Poodle McNoodle.
Well, that's a bit.
Giving the play-by-play. I mean, Fatty's there with his headphones on.
No, Fatty does not have the Palatial Pride 48 Studios. Fatty does not wear headphones. Have you heard his show?
He's talking into a snowball microphone, with his MacBook right there, with like, I don't know what he uses, GarageBand up. And this guy, I can't imagine listening to how Fatty talks on his show and feeling like it's a sexual thing.
Oh, no, it was the farthest thing from a sexual like turn on. It was, like I say, it was a cringe induced. It doesn't matter. Anyway, hi, Adam, how are you?
I'm better. We haven't seen each other we didn't record last week because I was under the weather, as people will say.
You were under the weather.
Yeah. I went to the doctor and he gave me a shot in the ass. And,
oh God. No, is that a euphemism?
The doctor didn't. It was a nurse.
Oh, was it a male nurse?
No, it was an old female nurse. But Mark was in there with me because he's a supportive boyfriend.
Really?
Yeah, and they just pull down your waistband. And
So what you're saying is, tell us a little bit more about how the nurse shot you in the ass.
Well, she just came in, and She said, I need you to lay on your side, mm-hmm. And then she kind of pulled down my waistband.
Oh, hold these poppers. Hold these poppers under his nose over there. That's what you need to do.
I wish. She had some rubber gloves on,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and she showed me the apparatus that she was going to stick me with.
I see. Yes, she displayed it to you. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then she said, "Okay, this it's going to pinch a little bit."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it was over. I mean, it was pretty small.
Right. Well,
to be honest.
Well,
okay. And
yeah,
I hate shots. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hate shots.
You hate getting shot in the ass.
I actually, maybe the ass is a good place to get a shot because I didn't really feel it that much.
Mm-hmm.
When you get it in the arm or somewhere else, you feel it in whatever that fatty part of my hip.
Uh-huh.
You know,
the gluteus maximus there. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that one anyway. So, okay, you know, right, I've just been under the weather, but I'm feeling better.
Yes.
I've been having trouble sleeping and some other things that were not necessarily related to the shot, but hopefully the past couple of nights I have slept all night, and we'll see how it goes. But that's been more.
Now, you know, I've had this ongoing thing. I've lived now in this apartment by myself for going on 2 months.
Wow, time flies.
I know.
When you're having fun.
And so I've been slowly training the cats away from their decade-long bad habits of waking me up in the morning.
Because, for like feeding time?
Yeah. So what would happen is that they would come in, you know, they get fed twice a day because they all have different dietary needs because of diabetes and old age and whatever. So what would happen is that they get fed at 7 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock at night because that for the longest time was just the times that were convenient. Because someone got up at 7 o'clock in the morning, wasn't me, but someone got up at 7 o'clock in the morning, so that could handle that feeding. And of course, I got home by 7 o'clock at night, and I could handle the evening feeding anyway. But now I'm having to do both feedings, and I am not a fan of the waking up early. I don't know if you know this or not. So what happens though is that cats work on this what's the word I'm looking for here? Like this reward system, like an intermittent reward system, right?
Where like they will reward you if you do what they think.
No. So think slot machines, right? You go and you play a slot machine. Like if a slot machine never paid off, no one would ever play a slot machine, right? Because there's no reward to it. You're just there just throwing your money away into the machine or whatever. But occasionally it pays back, right? Occasionally it wins, and that's what gives you the reward necessary to keep you performing the behavior. So the cats had gotten to this thing where they would start meowing at 6 o'clock in the morning or earlier to try to wake someone up to go and feed them. And of course, someone acquiesced and got up and fed them. And so now they're, for 10 years now, they've been under the assumption that all I have to do is, you know, jump up in the bed, make a lot of noise, and someone will get up and feed me.
Right.
So I've been trying to break them out of this habit. Actually, this morning, I didn't wake up. I woke up at 7:30 and they had not been meowing. So, because basically what I do is I just don't respond to it. I do not actually reward them until they're not bothering me. So I will just sit there and lay awake as they bother me until they stop. And then when there's a quiet period, then I get up and do something like feed them or whatever. But it's kind of just trying to reinforce the whole like, leave me the fuck alone and I will feed you. So it's like, right. Yeah, so I've been playing this game. So that I actually got, I'm just trying to slide because you were saying you were having problems sleeping. I was just relating that I've also been having problems sleeping because of the cats. But now I think we're heading on that downward turn. I mean, on the upward turn there that I might actually get them past this this annoying habit.
Well, we've been trying to let Sydney sleep with us, but that's another thing because she is not. Some nights it's okay and she'll lay there the whole night in one place and she'll sleep and it'll be fine. But most nights she will sleep for an hour or two and then she'll want to wander around the bed. You know, she'll go up to Mark the top of his head. She wants to like lay on his head for some reason at night.
Yeah, dogs love laying into his heads.
And she'll, you know, and then she'll go stand on the edge of the bed like she wants to jump down. Maybe she needs to go to the bathroom. I don't know but anyway, and it's just on top of me not having, on me having trouble sleeping this week. And mixing her with that, we just decided to give up on that because she was waking us up. And then the other thing is, on top of me not feeling well and then not being able to sleep and having anxiety attacks all week, they've got a new policy, a new procedure at his work.
Yes.
Where every time there's an issue at night, everyone involved has to be called. They have to conference them in.
That is the stupidest policy I've ever heard in my life.
And his job, well, because they were having some issues with a lot of problems going on, so they thought, okay, we'll solve these. We'll wake everyone up.
That'll solve it, right.
So not only all of this other stuff, but like at 2 a.m., almost like clockwork, every night this past week, he has gotten calls and had to, you know, work on some Java bend or something, you know, for some, because as you know, this is riveting podcasting. Sorry,
it is. Well, as if we haven't already put people to sleep, let's just,
but as you know, in the world of IT, a lot of like your standard business, things that have to happen, like bank transactions, you know, I want to describe this in a way that people would understand it, but the software that does all that back end stuff,
backing up things, basically running processes that copy things from one place to another, or updating huge databases and stuff like that. Yeah, those all happen in the middle
of
the night.
Invoicing.
Yep, those all happen
all that
while everyone's asleep.
It happens from like midnight until 6 a.m. or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you are the person whose job it is to work support, or your team is, that's when the bad things are going to happen. So he's been getting calls at like Friday, like Thursday night. He got a call at 2 a.m., he was up from, he didn't go to bed. Like the problem that they were having kept going. They didn't resolve it until like 9 a.m. or something. So he went in the living room and was like on the couch all night long. But I was having trouble because he wasn't in the bed. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
It just seems like a really stupid policy to wake everyone up. But it doesn't matter. You know what, Adam? It is 9:26 p.m. on a Sunday evening. And that can, of course, mean only one thing. We are streaming live on Pride48.com. And we are joined by the world's most amazing chatty comic. I can't read the chat room. It's just scrolling by so fast with all these people in there chatting. Adam, who is joining us in the chat room this evening?
Well, Auntie Vera Charles is there. Good Humor Penguin.
That would be Michael Fine.
We have a couple of Mibs. And then Tim in Alaska is there.
And hundreds more. Far too many for us to name. You know, we wouldn't want to call them out without, you know, having people think that we had favorites. But yeah, no. The chat room is there. Thank you guys for joining us on the chat room this evening. Good Humor Penguin is trying to pretend like he is Auntie Vera Charles. So.
They're so riveted by the conversation that we're having.
We have often been called the oral Thorazine of the Pride 48 community. And if you need to get to sleep at night, if you yourself are suffering from any kind of sleeping problems, really just need to start listening to our show, and that will solve it pretty much, I think, right there. Why didn't that work? Oh, there we go. Well, we have like 2 fucking weeks to catch up on here, don't we? All right, let's go to the first one here. Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi guys. Auntie Krista for the Celebrity Death Phone. Sorry about my voice. It's bloody grass season. Anyway, Albert Maysles, dead at 88.
Who?
Most famous for the Grey Gardens. Okay, bye.
I don't know who that is, but...
Oh, hold on. He says it's Mardi Gras season. Are those birds chirping behind him? What is he?
Oh, boys. It's Mardi Gras season. Anyway, Albert Maysles.
Sound like birds chirping.
It sounds
chirping
like birds. It does.
He's outside at Mardi Gras with the birds. It's Mardi Gras. So he's saying that Adam died, notably known for Grey Gardens. It seems to me that the author of Grey Gardens died recently. Perhaps that is what he was trying to say, is that Albert Maysles. Oh, he was a, hold on, I'm getting here. He is a documentarian. He won the Academy Award for the Best Documentary Short Subject. He's probably known for Grey Gardens because he was the guy that did that documentary. There you go. So Albert Maysles is the person that has won. So it's the person who has died, and so we will go ahead and give him that. Yes,
okay.
And as Tim in Alaska has pointed out, we've had the over here in the States, we do have a vaccine for that.
For Grey Gardens?
No, for Albert Maysles.
Oh, okay.
If you usually get that when you're a child.
Except people in California don't want to give their
children.
They
do not give
that,
it. Yeah,
that's
the problem.
They don't. So
yeah, they don't want to inoculate against Albert Maysles. You know what, Adam? I think that we've bored people enough. Everything is just really going down here. I think we should tell people some good news. Maybe you could tell some good news about your house.
This is really short, but I wanted to mention it. So, first of all, Thursday is Associate Appreciation Day at the coal mine where I work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get our bonus, you know, they give us chocolate bars as we come in the morning. They give us payday bars because that's, you know, to represent, today's bonus day.
Hold on, hold on. Stop right there. Stop right there.
What?
I happen to love payday bars.
Oh, I can't stand them.
Because,
I would have given them to
you. Because they are one of the only candy bars that have no chocolate in them. So why are you saying that they handed out chocolate bars and then said they gave you payday? Payday bars are peanuts over caramel and nougat with no disgusting chocolate on them.
I'm sorry. You have corrected me. I am ashamed to admit.
They have handed out candy bars. They've handed out the payday candy bars.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of nougat, I think is my problem. The nuts are fine, you know, but nougat just all by itself. Now, I love Snickers. Snickers is my favorite candy bar.
Okay, yes.
And I think it's because it has the perfect ratio of caramel,
you do
nougat.
Know that we're getting further and further away peanuts. From the topic at hand here.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a good day already because I got my payday when I came in. I got my bonus. You know,
you got your payday and your bonus. Yes.
The managers fed us lunch. I didn't eat it, but you know, it was nice of them.
Right.
And so I got a text message. And so I, you know, pulled up my phone, looked at my text message, and there was a message from the owner of this lovely abode that I live in.
Yes. The person that wanted you to move.
Yeah.
Early.
And you know, I don't know if I mentioned it on here or not, but I know I mentioned all the drama with her getting a divorce and needing to move back in and all that. And then I'm not sure if I mentioned, but a few weeks ago, I got a text message from the property management company saying, oh, by the way, not only is, you know, all this other bad stuff going on, but she has fired us as the property management company.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So I was all stressed because I thought, oh, my God, now I'm going to have to deal directly with her. I don't like confrontation. She's going to call me every other day, you know, laying on this guilt trip about needing to move in and not having anywhere to live and all that. Anyway, so I get this text message from her and she says, hey, Adam, it's Paige. That's her name, Paige.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Just wanted to let you know that I'm not going to be moving back into the house. And I have hired a new property management company. And was just wondering if you guys were still wanting to live in the house because we're going to go ahead and do a new contract.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Like, I've decided not to live in a house and now I want to like make you like sign it for another year.
Yeah. So, which is fine. No, this is great for us. Actually, she did. It was kind of funny, though. She said, or if you guys are interested in a 2 or 3 year contract, just let me know. So I still have to talk to her because she wanted me to call and I haven't done that yet. But the good news is we do not have to look for another house.
Yes.
I wouldn't say this is the perfect house. There are little minor issues. Like we'd love to have a double sink in the master bathroom.
And there's mice in it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that could be any house, right?
Not my house. I don't have mice.
Well, you live in an apartment. Anyway, so we don't have to look for a house. So that is my good news.
Good news.
We could even sign a 3 year contract if we wanted.
A 3 year contract on the
house.
We won't.
It's Bacon. There was a death.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Van Bergen. And he was George Constance's boss on Seinfeld. Pretty young. Hollywood. He's a voice actor, I think. All right. Kathy Bacon. Death. Copter phone, whatever. I don't know. We have, okay, I don't know why I call it death copter. It's stupid. Okay, fine. I give up. Sheesh. What time is it in Australia?
She's like having imaginary arguments in her head now, and she's responding to them. Daniel somebody who was George Costanza's boss in Seinfeld.
Yes.
Yes?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
He's an actor.
Daniel somebody.
I don't know the name, but if you say George Costanza's boss.
Uh-huh.
I think we know who that is.
It was George Steinbrenner.
Well, there must have been another boss.
He had more than one.
He had multiple bosses.
Fine. And I don't believe he was a voice actor. I believe she meant to say a character actor, probably. But that's all right. Daniel Voss Gunson. Hey, Adam.
Yep. Hey.
I don't know. I don't know. I was sorry. I was just reading the chat room. I don't know if you are aware or not, but yesterday... Well, actually, today. No, yesterday. Yesterday.
I don't want to ruin it. I'm going to pretend I don't know. Well, what? What are you going to tell me about yesterday?
Yesterday was Pi Day. I don't know if you celebrated it where you were or not. Go ahead.
Well, I did know it was Pi Day.
Mm-hmm.
However, I did not have any pie.
Really?
So I didn't celebrate
that is
in that way.
Sad,
but,
really.
But I knew that it was Pi Day.
So you knew it was, but yet you...
I had a cheese Danish.
You had a cheese Danish, which was about as far away from a pie.
But I love pie.
You probably could. All right. So, yeah, it was Pie Day yesterday, and it was a very special Pie Day. I don't know. And they say this every year because there's always something. We always figure out something. Like last year was a very special Pie Day because it was Pie Day out of Pie Month, because last year was March of 2014. So it would have been 314, which would have been March, right? So March, it was Pie Month last year. But yeah, so this year was Pie Day, but it was one of those at 9:26:53 in the morning and at 9:26:53 in the evening. It was actually 3:3:14:15:9:26:53, which is the first whole string of pi there. So
if
it was,
you went to the millisecond, you could have said,
yeah, no, you could have kept going.
9:26:53:59.
Correct. But yeah, so it was Pi Day, and as it so happened, my friend Jerome, who is Jean's husband, so my co-host on Alcohol, Jean, her husband Jerome, was in New York for the week, and I was scheduled to go and have lunch with him yesterday. So I went into New York City to have lunch with Jerome, and he left it to me to pick the restaurant. So I chose a place, a lovely little burger place in Hell's Kitchen called Bear Burger that we ate at, and it was quite delicious. We ate there. By the way, right next to the Yahtzee Number One.
You should have eaten at like some pub, like a British pub where they serve meat pies. And you could have had like, you know,
no, but kidney and liver pie. No. The Bear Burger was just for the lunch. That was just for the burger. In fact, we did not even get fries or anything with our burgers because we knew we were leaving from there to go to the Little Pie Company store, which was right down the street from where we ate. But yeah, no, it was right next to the Yahtzee Local Number One, which I guess is the international, it's the theater people's union or whatever. Jerome was very happy about that. He took a picture of it. Anyway, so we went to the Little Pie Company, which is in Hell's Kitchen in New York City. Delicious, delicious pie. And because yesterday was Pie Day, they actually had made special sugar cookies in the shape of pie. So for every pie you bought, you got a free sugar cookie shaped like pie, or, you know, shaped in the pie symbol. Or you could buy them, because we didn't want to buy an entire 8-inch pie, so we actually just bought the sugar cookies on top of our pieces of pie. So I believe Jerome had the 3-berry pie, and I had the sour cream apple walnut pie.
That sounds absolutely disgusting.
Really? The sour cream apple walnut?
Yeah, sour cream apple walnut. Ugh.
It's an apple pie made with sour cream, so it's a very creamy apple pie with a walnut crust, you know, like a walnut and in brown sugar like crust.
I'm not a big fruit pie person, so maybe, you know, it's just that. I like cream pies. Like, I like chocolate cream pie. That is my favorite pie.
Now, they had, I mean, obviously, they are a pie company. You can find them on the web at littlepiecompany.com, and they have many, many different kinds of pie. I believe the special pie this month is the, whatever it is, the Montmorency cherry pie. Anyway, but they, yeah, they had, they do have a banana coconut cream pie. You would have liked that.
I'm not a big fan of banana, but coconut cream is good.
They also have a strawberry rhubarb pie. They have a southern pecan pie. They have a 3-berry pie. They have a key lime pie, an old fashioned apple pie. Pear. Anyway, the point is, we had pie at the Little Pie Company in Hell's Kitchen, New York. It was delicious. We celebrated our lovely Pie Day in New York City. And it was nice to see Jerome. I don't know that he's coming back for a while because it turns out he just got a new job and the company is based out of New York, but they all work from home. So he was just out here for training and stuff. And I don't think he's coming back until next year. But so he didn't get to go to Shake Shack, which he should have. But he was here for the week and I only got to see him that one day. But no, it was a lovely little trip. It was a very rainy, cold day in New York City yesterday, but then it kind of cleared up and it was all right.
Well, I tell you. I don't like fruit pies, but if I'm going to have fruit, I like a nice cobbler.
Ooh, if only you knew someone who made a really good cobbler. All right, let's go to our next phone call here and say hello. How are you? Jesus Christ.
Hello, boys. It's Spanking Beata and Celebrity Death Phone Call. Former Playgirl Man of the Year Dirk Schaefer dies. Yes, he was the first openly gay cover model for Playgirl magazine. And he also directed and made movies like Circuit and Man of the Year and things like that. And it's very, very sad. And just goes to show you that people that are in really good shape and thin die too. Sorry to spoil your belief system. All right. Well, thanks. Bye.
Hold on. He's got birds behind him, too.
Maybe he's at Mardi Gras.
Was R.T. Cruiser with Matt from Smacking B. Arthur, were they at Mardi Gras together? Because it really does sound like, you know, there's a bird theme. There's an underlying bird theme going on here with the death phone things here. But yes, Dirk, I forget his last name because you didn't write it down.
Schaefer.
Dirk Schaefer. But yes, I did see Man of the Year, which was actually a movie about him being Playboy's, you know, so he was not only directed it, but he was in it. But I saw that at the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival, which many, many years ago when it first came out. But that was... Anyway, so yes, congratulations, Matt, for that. Speaking of Matt, it's Making B. Arthur. I need you to entertain the chat room for one moment while I go run into the other room and grab something.
Okay. So yeah, I'm looking at a picture of Dirk Schaefer here, and he was an attractive guy. Actually, I think he was only 50. He looks a little bit like Adam Levine. If you look at some pictures of him, he looks like an older Adam Levine, like a little bit more muscular. I don't know if anyone else sees that, but I see that.
What are we seeing? I'm sorry, I'm back.
I think Dirk Schaefer looks just, I'm looking at, Google, I Googled him, and then I clicked on the images tab, so I'm looking at a whole bunch of different images of him. And a few of the images where he's a little scruffier,
yes,
I feel like he looks like Adam Levine, just a little.
I don't know if you can see this here, Adam.
It's an Amazon box.
I do. I have in my hot little hands here an Amazon box that was sent to me. From Matt from Spanking B. Arthur. It was a birthday present. I was told, because it arrived yesterday, I was told that I had to wait until the show to open it. And I left it in the other room. So I had to go and grab that here. But I have this now. Let's see. I'm going to now open this package right here on the show. Hopefully it's nothing, you know, embarrassing like a Bible or a Book of Mormon or something like that. This is riveting, isn't it?
So he's got the box. I'll do a play-by-play. He's got the box.
I've now opened it.
He's opening the box.
He has sent me some sealed air, Adam. It is it's sealed air.
Oh, man. The thing about those, I haven't always wondered, but recently when I've gotten packages.
Yes, yes.
I've wondered whatever happened to the bubble wrap stuff, you know, with the small ones that you could actually do the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are too expensive.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, why now do they do these big? It looks like they took a Ziploc bag and blew some air in it.
All right. These apparently, Adam, these are two things off of my Amazon wish list.
Did you get a folding quarter?
I did not get the folding quarter. This one is, it is just a pen. I just got a pen, which I'll be happy to show people in Vegas, but it's just a regular pen. There's absolutely nothing special about this pen at all. Thank you very much, Matt, for the pen. And then I got this. I needed desperately here for the office, which is a... let me see if I can get it out here. It is a clock.
He got you the $500 monitor that you had on the list?
No. You know, I told you. I have updated the list. I have updated the wish list so that it now has very reasonable things on it. Let's see. But this is a clock that he got me here, which is a digital clock, which I needed for my office here, here in this room. It's like a small Leo Laporte clock, you know, with the oversized.
So it's got oversized numbers.
The
so
oversized
Daniel,
digital
in his
numbers.
Old age can see it.
Right, it's got the date and the temperature and all that stuff in it.
It says it's 72 degrees outside. I have a hard time believing.
No, it's not on.
It's a sticky thing. Right.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Well, thank you, Matt.
That's lovely. Thank you. I appreciate that. Over on the old Amazon wish list. You know, Adam, it is March 15th.
I do.
that means that there are still 13 shopping days until my birthday. I don't know if you knew that or not. You know, just 13 shopping days until my birthday.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. Everyone go over to amazon.com/something, Daniel J. Brewer or something.
And you know what? I think you can just look me up by email. Or just by name. I think I'm the only Daniel Brewer that's listed as living in Hamden, Connecticut. But, oops. I'm sorry. I accidentally posted the link to my wish list into the chat room there. So sorry about that. I didn't mean to. I was, you know, doing this purely for research purposes.
Right.
But plenty of lovely gifts on that that are very, you know, they're under $20. Just lovely little gifts. There's even one there for $4.49.
Someone needs to get you the folding quarter. That's all I've got. That's
you know what?
I've got to say.
Wait, hold on. I don't see the folding quarter on the list here. Someone might have purchased it. No, there it is. Okay. Folding quarter is still there. and is still available for purchase. Also on the list, you know, is Hiding the Elephant, which is a Kindle book, Hiding the Elephant, which is talks about Harry Houdini. You know, there's a vacuum cleaner.
I don't know. Hiding the Elephant sounds like a book of horrible horror stories. Yes. I don't know.
There's a lovely little four-piece stoneware appetizer plate set. And some frying pans that I desperately need. Some studio lighting that I desperately need.
Hide your elephant.
No, it's Harry Houdini made an elephant disappear, and this is a book about.
I bet he did
that trip.
The trunk.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I really do appreciate it, regardless of my snarky little co-host here. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Daniel.
You know, I don't know. Do you watch The Amazing Race?
You know, I do now. I didn't. Here's the deal, Daniel.
Here's the deal.
We are like out of shows to watch. Like out, just out. Everything has been on break for like ever, it seems like. And we watched, I don't know, 40,000 episodes of Scandal, but we caught up. So now we're caught up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed something to watch because we were just sitting around.
Oh, well, you know what? Had you listened to the Auntie Vera Charles show? She gave a good suggestion of what to watch on Netflix, but let's get to this here.
Yeah, hi guys. Auntie Chris of the Celebrity Death Phone. Bit devastated by this one, but Leo Kagan. Legendary Australian racing car driver.
All right, there we go. So go ahead with your story, Adam.
So if anyone wants to make recommendations of things to watch, I'm kind of looking for lighter fare, nothing too depressing.
Now, what do you have?
What do you mean?
Well, what services do you have? So you have Netflix streaming.
We have Hulu Plus, Netflix. Well, obviously Netflix.
Do you have Amazon
HBO
Prime?
HBO Go, Amazon.
Do you have Amazon?
Yeah.
So HBO, not for lighter though, because
I don't want anything that could possibly depress me. Because you know,
do you have Showtime?
I'm trying to lighten my mood.
Do you have Showtime?
But we do not have Showtime.
Because Showtime has episodes, which is probably the best written half-hour comedy on television, starring Matt LeBlanc. It may be on Netflix streaming because I know Showtime does a thing with Netflix where they push their old episodes there. Let me just go over here and look really quick on Netflix.
Episodes. Okay. Well, I'll look at that. I haven't, you know, look.
It may
everyone.
Be too highbrow for you, but it's very funny.
Okay. I don't know what you mean exactly by that. It may be too highbrow for
no,
me.
No, see, it's not available for streaming. It's only available on DVD on Netflix. But yeah, maybe I'll share with you my Showtime streaming password. But yeah, it's what do you mean? Well, because it's a bit highbrow.
Are you implying that I'm ignorant and I can't get highbrow comedy? Or?
No, you're just saying you want something that is, you know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes, I don't know, sometimes you may not, never mind. Adam.
It's fine. Anyway, so if anyone has any suggestions, I will.
Auntie Vera Charles is suggesting VeggieTales. Have you seen VeggieTales?
That, you know, I didn't put it on the list, but Mark and I have this, a little guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
We like to watch the Disney Tinkerbell movies.
Oh God.
They're the most innocent, you know, happy little fairy, little, you know, whatever. If you're in a bad mood, you know, just go watch that. It's going to be nothing. And I was happy. I was ecstatic because they released a new Tinkerbell movie. It's called The Legend of the Never Beast.
Mm-hmm. Have you been watching Breadwinners?
No, I don't know. I've not heard of that.
Breadwinners is it? Yeah, you should watch Breadwinners. That's a really good one.
I tried to watch Silicon Valley, but or Alley or whatever it's called, but it was just kind of hit me. But so anyway, been watching Amazing Race and was just gonna say for those of you who don't watch it, I know Big Fatty covers that, and I'm not gonna do you know a big review of the Amazing Race, but I think that the Amazing Race would be the game show that I would want to go on if I was going to go on a game show, because Survivor, you're out on a freaking island, like eating grubs and like, you know, whatever. And all of these other, you know, things, you have to do these horrible things. The Amazing Race, it's like, go to these fabulous exotic places, right? And we'll pay for your plane ticket. We'll give you a budget, you know, so you can travel. Now, I understand some of the places they go are a bit third world.
And they still have to eat. You know, nasty things.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they can go to a restaurant. You know, I mean, they have a budget. And here's the other thing. They didn't say this on the show, mm-hmm. but someone mentioned at one point being away from their family for about a month.
Yes.
But there are only 10 or 11 stops on the trip.
Yeah, but some of them are more than one day, and then because sometimes it takes more than a day for them to get from one place to the other. So it is a good 33 days of filming. I know I've heard that before.
Right. Well, what I'm going to say is they must have some days off where they can just kind of relax in whatever area that they're in.
No, actually they don't.
Really?
Yeah. When you read any of the interviews from these people, it's like, yeah, it is a freaking race. I mean, you are going nonstop. Anyway, how about here's one. Have you watched this show? It's a good comedy that's on, I believe it's on Netflix, right? Have you seen this one?
That theme song is so familiar, but I cannot. Mm-hmm. It's an 80s TV show.
It is, yes. Jessica Fletcher.
Oh, Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, that's a good comedy. You should watch that. There's one with
a
cab
really
driver.
A comedy.
Well, there's one with a cab driver. It was great. It was that was my favorite episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Maybe I should watch some Matlock. That always cheers me right up.
You should just go in there and watch some Matlock.
Anyway, but I do want to say a couple of things about Amazing Race. If you're ever on Amazing Race.
Now, I am a connoisseur, sir, of Amazing Race. I have watched almost every episode. I mean, almost every season.
Well,
so I am the guy to ask the questions about the Amazing Race. Go ahead. What is your advice?
I'm not going to ask you a question. I'm going to give advice. For the love of God, don't go to the airport until after you have already purchased your ticket. Now, find a travel agent.
Now, sometimes that's not possible.
Well, I just want to say, for the most part, the ones who are able to find a travel agent or call someone on the phone or borrow a smartphone with some internet or something and book it, get the earliest flights for the most part. So I just want to say, if you're going to be on the Amazing Race, that is a strategy to have.
You know, wouldn't it be amazing, Adam, if I took this perfectly normal pen that Matt got me for my birthday and in Vegas this year pierced a $1 bill with it without damaging the $1 bill? Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. It would be fantastic, wouldn't it? That would be an amazing.
It would.
Amazing thing. Just this ordinary pen. There's nothing there. I forgot what I was going to say. So the Amazing Race. Yes. My only advice on the Amazing Race thing is calm the fuck down. It would be my... That would be, if I was on the Amazing Race, whoever I was with, I would just constantly repeat that. Calm the fuck down. It's like, because they always act like if they're not the first in every single clue box that they're going to lose the race or whatever. It's just like, read the clue twice. It's like, read the clue twice, calm the fuck down, and you'll be okay. It's like,
it's the most horrible thing when they go through an entire detour or whatever they're called, the challenges.
Yep.
And then they realize they did something wrong.
Right, because they were too rushed.
Sorry,
right.
We can't give you the clue because now you have to eat this whole sheep intestine all over again because exactly. Mm-hmm. You used your hands and you weren't supposed to.
Just saying, read the clue, calm the fuck down. Here we go. Who we got?
Someone in the lake died. Oh my gosh. All right, well... The death for the day is the Simpsons. I can't remember names.
What?
Sam Simon, age 59, Simpsons co-creator. All right, Kathy Bacon. I hope I beat Archie. I'm like walking and sitting in my office. I walk back and forth. I'm trying to catch up with Mike Lawson.
She's
about
walking
200 away from him, I think.
In her office.
All right. Well, sorry, dead. How do I
She's walking back and forth in her office.
Is she getting any work done? That's what I want to know.
She doesn't have like the treadmill set up on her desk, you know, where like you see those people like, you know, like taking meetings and stuff while they have their treadmill desk and like doing doing work. No, she's just pacing back and forth. Just pacing back and forth in her office, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Do you know what her job is?
She's a bean counter for the government.
She makes souffles. She makes souffles, and she's just there stomping back and forth. It's just going to cause them to fall. It's just really, really bad.
The government has a job where someone makes souffles?
Oh, yes, the government. It's absolutely... are we giving her the co-creator of The Simpsons?
Yes, we are.
Congratulations.
All right. Anyways, that's it. I've been watching The Amazing Race, and I think you should always go to a travel agent if you can. And
there you go.
And that's
it's still a tie on the title, by the way. So you're going to have to just.
I already used the title.
Oh, great. Excellent. What was I going to say? I was going to say something and I can't remember what it was. Oh, hey, Adam.
Hey, Daniel.
I am traveling in the upcoming, in the near future.
You told me that, yeah.
But did I say this on a show?
I don't remember. I don't remember if I don't you think said I did. It on a show.
I don't think I did. I think I was going to say it last week, but then we didn't record. But no, so I'm traveling to Madison, Wisconsin. I will be there for 2 weeks at the end of April. I have absolutely no idea what is in Madison. Well, I do, because I've looked it
Jeez.
Up. But there's apparently a bear bar, like a gay bear bar in Madison, Wisconsin. So I'm very excited to be going to Woofs in Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'll be there from April 20th until May 2nd in Madison. I don't know anyone up in that area. So if you are in the only person that I would even know in Wisconsin moved to Colorado, that would be RC in Wisconsin. But yeah, so if you're up in the Madison, Wisconsin area, or going to be in the Madison, Wisconsin area, April 20th to May 2nd, hey, like give me a shout out. Let me know. And
For some reason I was thinking that trip was coming up much sooner than that. So the trip is a month away still.
Yes, a month and several days away. Yeah. Yes. So I will be going to Madison, Wisconsin. Well, also, Adam, I don't know if you know this or not. They just announced the dates for BlizzCon the other day. I've already booked my hotel room for BlizzCon. So I am Los Angeles bound, in Anaheim bound, November 6th. And BlizzCon is November 5th and 6th. But I am going to actually be going at Halloween. So I'm going to be, because Halloween is the Saturday before that. So I am actually going to go Halloween and then stay through the next weekend of BlizzCon. So I'm actually
Now, do you have an outfit that looks like a bull?
I do not. No Tauren outfit. No.
No, nothing. With horns.
See, here's the thing though. I'm going to be there for Halloween, and I asked my friend of the show, Auntie Vera Charles. I'm like, "Hey, maybe I could swing by, visit with you guys since, I helped Gooch set up his new computer and stuff."
And he said no.
Yeah, they're just basically like, "No, we have a flu that weekend."
We will be on a cruise of the lifetime part 2.
Whatever. They'd be gone that weekend, so they're not going to actually be there. Because I was planning on actually going, Halloween. I figured, season of gloom and doom, Halloween. I could actually spend Halloween handing out candy at Vera or Razor Blades or whatever she hands out on Halloween
they
evening.
They don't hand out candy. Don't they have like some barbed wire, like it's a compound with like, Doberman Pinschers and you
they're
know.
They're Weimaraners.
Some Weimaraners, butler that yes. won't let anyone in, you right. know. So Albert.
It's going to be there, but no, they're not. So I'm going to be bunking with Joe Batance for a few days. So I'll be in Los Angeles.
He'll take you to every stand-up restaurant in
right.
LA.
There will be no sitting seats. Down. There will be no sitting down for eating while I'm in LA whatsoever. I'll be there. And then I'll be doing BlizzCon again this year. So I will actually be staying in Anaheim for BlizzCon and then all the way through the following Tuesday so I can do Disney on Sunday and Monday. So I'll be doing Disneyland on Sunday and Monday, and hopefully Nico will be able to join us there for that. I'll be doing BlizzCon the Friday and Saturday before that. So it'll be great. It'll be a fun trip. I'm excited.
Yay. Well, so. I sounds fun. I wish I had more days off work. I really do, because I love to travel and I make enough that I can afford to travel. And I don't make a lot, but I make enough that I can travel occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just so ironic that when I had a job with like 4 weeks of vacation, I made shit and couldn't afford to do anything.
Right.
Now I have a job where I make enough to travel and they won't let me out of there for anything. So I would love to just join you on all of those trips, everything you're doing.
Oh, since Vera and Gooch are going to be out of town, if you join me, then we could just break in because we know they're not there, right? We could break in and just like squat in their house for
Do they have
for
a hot time. Tub? That's what I want to know.
Well, they will when we're done, right? We'll just
Right. Cuz I love hot tubs. I'm all about hot tubs.
Let's borrow the neighbors. It'll be great. There you go. So I have two trips coming up. One of them to BlizzCon, my big 10-day California trip coming up in November. But well before that will be my trip to Madison, Wisconsin, which I know very little about. I do know that. Do you watch the RuPaul's Drag Race?
No. I have seen RuPaul's Drag Race, but I'm not a big fan of drag queens.
So here's the thing. But here's the thing about RuPaul's Drag Race is that they have... In Wisconsin, I guess one of the contestants is a local drag queen to Madison, Wisconsin, like, one of their drag queens. And so they have in Madison, Wisconsin, which by the way is the capital of Wisconsin, but they have like 6 or 7 gay bars in Madison, Wisconsin. And I don't know why I keep saying Madison, Wisconsin fully every single time.
Madison, Wisconsin.
In Madison, Wisconsin, but they have like 6 or 7 gay bars there. But anyway, the bars there have a viewing party on Monday nights when RuPaul's Drag Race is on. They have a viewing party there. Now, I saw Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I was sorry, I had to think about the name. I saw Priscilla, Queen of the Desert at a gay and lesbian film festival in Tampa, Florida, at the Tampa Theater. So I saw it with 200 screaming homosexuals, which was a huge, exciting event. Now, I didn't hear most of the lines of the movie. I had to watch the movie later to actually hear the movie or whatever, but it was just, it was kind of a communal kind of like fun event. And I think it would be really fun to watch RuPaul's Drag Race with a bunch of, you know, gay men. How many times are there that you can say like, oh, here's this, here's a TV show that, you know, people are going to watch as a group and these people are going to watch it as a group are gay. So it's like, you know, it's not the greatest show on television, but I do think that there, it'll be fun to try some of this, this group thing. But here's the thing.
Maybe they'll be watching it at Woof.
No, here's the thing, Adam, is they actually do group viewing here in Connecticut, here in New Haven, Connecticut. So tomorrow night, I'm going to go check that out. I'm going to go watch RuPaul's Drag Race tomorrow night because it's on a Monday night. So I'm going to go watch it at one of our local bars here in Connecticut and see what that experience is like.
I want to say most of the competitions on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
Are outlandish copies of a mixture of Project Runway.
Oh, God, yes.
And... God, yes. That other show.
God, yes. No, and that's what it's so... Yes, I agree with you.
Yes, this is Brian and Nola calling to report that Terry Pratchett, Sir Terry Pratchett, the renowned fantasy author, has died at the age of 66. Dead. Gone.
Gone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Brian, oh, Jesus Christ. Apparently they slammed those phones in New Orleans. That was Brian in New Orleans. Terry Pratchett, we will give him a... Absolutely for that. So two things that just happened in the chat room. Tim in Alaska said Madison is home of Epic Software. You are correct, Tim in Alaska. And as I do work for a large hospital, that is exactly what I'm going there for, is training at Epic. Auntie Vera Charles said that I just called it RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul's Rag Race.
RuPaul's Rag Race. Exactly.
Yeah. No. So anyway, I don't know what I was saying. Oh, yeah.
You were basically saying, let me just make this perfectly clear.
America's Next Top Model.
It is. But you know what? All at some level, all of these shows are the same. And I'm not a big fan of RuPaul. I'm not even like a huge fan of I don't like that. Here's what I find. I find that a lot of drag queens on there are just stupid. Like they try to like be witty, but they're just stupid. Like they don't even have the vocabulary to back up their wit or whatever.
Right.
And so, yeah, but I still am addicted to the idea of experiencing this in a communal setting, like to watch it in a communal setting.
Look. I grew up in the south part of the United States.
Yes.
Could
you point to that on a map?
And lived in places that were small.
Yes.
So when you went to a gay bar, mm-hmm. there were like five or six people in this house.
Right.
Right. That was converted to had a pool table and like, you know, they converted the kitchen bar to a bar. I mean, it was like crazy. Some of the places I went.
Yes.
Okay. When I was in college and stuff. And the caliber of drag queen that you get at those types of places seemed to be about the same caliber of drag queen of some of the ones that are on Drag Race. That's all I'll say.
There you go. Oh, so now Tim in Alaska is saying that his husband is going to Madison for Epic training. And at the same time, will he be there during the time that I'm there? Anyway, we'll talk after the show, Tim. All right, are we done then? Did you say that today was the first pretty day?
Yeah, I'm not going to say much about that, but since it's on there, today was the first pretty day. I haven't been feeling well. It was like 70 degrees and sunny. We're like, oh, we're going to go out and, you know, do stuff because it's sunny. So we went to the park. We ate Panera Bread at the park. And we took Sydney, so we fed the fish.
Yes, with Sydney.
And then we went and played miniature golf. Oh, come on.
The new.
Miniature golf is something I can beat Mark at. He beat me at bowling, but... A restroom at a Walmart in eastern Indiana has been closed indefinitely after an employee discovered a working meth lab inside.
Oh, dear God.
State police say a Walmart employee alerted police after seeing a man he described as suspicious enter the restroom about 11:30 on Thursday with a backpack and leave without it. The Star Press reports that members of a state police meth suppression team removed the dangerous chemicals.
Wait, hold on. There's a meth suppression team?
Apparently so.
How do you set up it? Now, my only knowledge of meth comes from Breaking Bad. And it appears to me that it is a rather complicated process. It's not like something that you just like, you know, it's not like an easy bake oven where you just like pour some chemicals in and then, you know, tick, 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 ding, and then it's done, right? You have to like do this in different stages. You have to like boil things precisely. At least if I'm to believe the show Breaking Bad, is a multi-stage process where there are numerous different toxic chemicals that you are mixing together that have the tendency to blow up if not properly ventilated, because, you know, it's, you're basically dealing with these very, you know, you're basically removing things away so that you can get down to the base chemicals and then rearrange these chemicals into meth. So it's like, how do you have a working meth lab in a Walmart bathroom?
I don't know, but apparently it was a small working meth lab because it fit in a backpack. And so they closed the restroom and the women's restroom nearby so they could decontaminate them.
The meth suppression team did.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so what they say is...
Yeah, my name is Officer Jones. I'm from the meth suppression team.
So, I don't know how complicated this is, because the last sentence we have here says, state police say people who make methamphetamine are leaving the deadly explosive chemicals in public places to later return to get the finished product rather than risk explosions and contamination at their own homes.
Well, there you go. That just makes sense.
They get it to whatever point it needs to get where it needs to, like, marinate or whatever happens. And then they take it in a backpack to somewhere and just leave it there so that if there is an explosion,
yes,
it explodes at the Walmart.
Which, you know, so, makes perfect sense. Now,
there you go.
So if you, there you go, a helpful tip, if you are a meth addict and you needed to get some, you wanted to score some free meth, just periodically check the bathrooms at the Walmart.
Exactly.
And see. You can find
other news.
You can find it right next to the fiddle faddle. Fiddle faddle, meth.
Yes. Three U.S. teenagers have been arrested for allegedly stealing a goat. Which one of the boys planned to use to ask a girl to his school prom.
Oh, this is such a heartwarming story, because he spent months and months after he stole the goat, basically training it and everything. We actually have an audio recording of it here for it. Here's the goat to ask the girl to the prom. It's very heartwarming story.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, he was arrested.
Aw.
So Jacob Michaels, who's 17, told police he was planning to ask his would-be date, would you goat with me to the prom?
Oh, dear God. He deserves to be arrested just for that pun.
So, so the whole reason he stole the goat is so that he could have the goat there when he asked the girl.
For God, you know what? Things you could say with puppets. Really, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, just puppets. Puppets were just, a small goat puppet would have kept this kid out of jail, and he would have, never mind.
So these two 17-year-old boys were charged as adults with livestock theft, which is a misdemeanor. And Chip the goat is unharmed and was returned to its owner, whose daughter keeps the animal as a pet.
Such an 11 o'clock news story. Chip the goat was unharmed. Gita?
Right. Okay, lastly, I like this story. If owning a lakeside, and plus, people can actually benefit from this if they want to own a lakeside bed and breakfast. So everyone, get your notepads ready.
A
bed and breakfast.
A lakeside.
Yeah. So if owning a lakeside bed and breakfast is your dream, here is your chance.
Hold on. I can help you out with this. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay.
For just $125 and a 200-word essay, the Center Lavelle Inn in Maine could all be yours.
Cabot, it's near Cabot Cove.
Yeah. So innkeeper Janice Sage is running an essay contest to select the new owner. It's a tradition. In 93, Sage became the owner of the inn by winning a similar contest. So Sage isn't giving up the bed and breakfast for nothing. The property and the building are valued at $905,000, but she expects to collect all of that, at least that much, from the entry fees. So everyone has to pay $125.
So how much is it valued at?
$905,000.
So she is expecting quite a number of entries.
Yeah, so she said she'll return all of the money if she doesn't receive at least 7,500 entries.
So what do we have to do to win this thing? Well, you have to write an essay.
Yeah. So all you have to do is pay the $125.
Pay them $125.
And you have to write a 200-word or less essay.
I would write like a 5-word essay. I want the inn.
Yeah, and it says what it has to say is why you want to own the inn. It has to be.
I want to solve murders. There you go. Five.
Yeah. It has to be postmarked before May 7th.
Ooh, got quite a bit of time then.
And the winner will be chosen before May 21st. Sage said she will select the top 20 essays and turn them over to two independent judges who will pick the winner.
Nice.
So apparently, I just think this is cool because apparently this is like a tradition for this inn. So the way that the current owner took
someone geniusly figured out a way to dump this losing business on someone.
Well, maybe. Right. Maybe,
and now that person is like, now this is a scene out of Huck Finn, I'm pretty sure. It's there you go. I'm just.
But she'll give you, if you win, she'll give you $20,000 cash to get you started.
Well, of course she will, because she's basically like she's literally paying people to take this loser of an inn off of her hands. All right.
That's the news.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the news.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay!
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Along.
Happy birthday to you.
Along.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
It is the DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play me five musical cues to different people's birthdays, and using only my head brain and my word mouth, I will decide, I will discern whose birthday it is without any help from the chat room. There we go. That's what we're going to do.
Yay!
Okay. By the way, only 13, did I mention only 13 days to my birthday? Did I mention that? Okay, good. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, and I don't have a theme song for you, sorry. So, okay.
Well, you have 13 days to come up with one.
Yeah, I do. All right, so here is our first birthday.
First. This is the theme to... No, dear God. Was this recorded at the Morongo Sun... the Morongo Sun Machine... the Morongo Shiny... It's you can hear her from... You can hear her bony legs shaking from here. It's Liza with a Z.
Yeah, it's Liza Minnelli. Yes, and my soundboard. I was gonna do something like that.
Exactly.
But anyway, Liza Minnelli. Yes, that's quite an old recording actually of her. I don't even know if she still performs very much. I know Joey did go to a performance of hers a couple of years ago. So anyway, Liza Minnelli is 69 years old.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
All right. So happy birthday. Now, this is a speaking. I'm sure you will get this from the content and the voice.
Here we go. Speaking.
Once again from the beautiful National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., the skating rink. I guess you can figure that out for yourself with the people skating.
Got it. Pause it. Here's a picture of Auntie Vera Charles, such a lovely, handsome young woman who is 103 today. Brought, you know, Smuckers wishes her. Is it Willard Scott?
It is Willard Scott. He was announcing. Now, Willard Scott is he still doing the birthday segment?
I don't think so. I don't watch the Today Show, but I have not.
On the Today Show? Well, the recording I have is from a couple of years ago. So he was doing it maybe 3 years ago in 2013. So I don't know if he still does it or not. Now, I did look on their website and they still have an address to send your birthdays to him. So maybe he does. Maybe he records that once a week, or I don't know. But anyway, Willard Scott.
Scott went into semi-retirement in 1996 and was succeeded by Al Roker, blah, blah, blah. He continues to appear twice a week on the morning program to wish centenarians a happy birthday. He appears from the studio lot of WBBH, the NBC affiliate in Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, he's 81 years old.
81 years young. He's going to be like, oh, such a handsome young man. I'm turning 100 today.
Yeah, it'll be cool if he announces his own 100th birthday.
I don't think that would be cool.
Show.
I think there's other adjectives we could use.
Everybody get up.
Hey, 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 hey. I would be tempted to say that this was Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke. However, with the recent court ruling, I'm going to go with Marvin Gaye.
It's not Marvin Gaye.
Well, you know, according to the recent court ruling, you're not even supposed to own that recording right now. But this is Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
It is. So is that who you think?
I'm going to go with Robin Thicke.
All right, it is Robin Thicke. So, Robin Thicke,
which, you know, you have a thing about the Thicke boys here because you also often play Alan Thicke, his father's. You also often play his birthday.
Yeah. So that's true. That is Alan Thicke's son. Wow, what a coincidence. And I think Alan's birthday was just a couple of weeks ago.
It was. Yeah. Show me that smile again.
So Robin Thicke is 38 years old.
38 years young, yes.
And Pharrell was also in that.
And Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, apparently. All right, so here is our next one.
Here, please.
All right, I got it, babe, I got it. Go get ready.
She was the queen of the charts.
Okay, I'm going to say that this is from the TV show Nashville.
It is.
So it was this particular person also in Heroes?
No.
Okay, so it's not the cheerleader from Heroes.
No.
I don't know anyone else from that show because I don't watch it.
This person was in Friday Night Lights.
I watched Friday Night Lights. She was the coach. Was she the coach's wife in Friday
American
Night Lights?
American Horror Story. First season.
Was she the coach's wife in Friday Night Lights?
I didn't watch Friday Night Lights, but I would assume she would play a coach's wife.
All right. So it's the coach's wife from Friday Night Lights. That's my guess.
I don't know who the coach's wife is.
I don't know. What, so who is it?
What color is her hair?
I give up. Just tell me who it is.
It's Connie Britton. Connie Britton.
Why are you saying that? Are you Alex Trebek suddenly? You have to say it twice. Yes, she was the coach's wife in Friday Night Lights.
She's Raina James in the smash hit Nashville.
There you go.
Anyway, all right. She is.
Hey, have you watched Nashville?
Yeah, I watched Nashville. I really enjoy Nashville. I like the music. I don't want to perpetuate any stereotypes, but I don't mind some country music here or there.
All right.
And I like it. I think it's a good show.
Was that our last one?
No. Oh. We have one more.
One more.
All right. I have two theme songs for this. So here we go.
Ooh, 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 ooh. I believe this is the theme to Quantum Leap.
It is. Yep.
Okay, yep. And so the second one you're going to sing is "It's Been a Long Time."
It's not
getting from there to here. Oh.
But here is what it is.
Wow. I don't know what this is.
Now let me forward it a little bit. Maybe it gets.
Okay, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm going to make an edumacated guess here. So Quantum Leap, which would, of course, I was initially thinking that it would be, what's his name? Scott Bakula. But I'm now going to change it and say, no, I bet you it's Dean Stockton, because Dean Stockton seems like he would be in some like highfalutin show that has that like really sad. Was that the theme to Battlestar Galactica?
It was.
Ah, there you go. That's the Dean Stockton tie in there from Battlestar.
It's actually, I'm giving it to you, but you are pronouncing it incorrect. It's Dean Stockwell.
Oh, Dean Stockwell.
But you're close enough.
Yeah, Vera Charles immediately correcting me in the chat room with that. Stockwell.
Yeah. So Dean Stockwell, he was in Quantum Leap, most notably, and, well, in my mind, and also
Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica. Right. He's also had a guest appearance in NCIS New Orleans
He's been in a lot of things. All right, excellent. So happy birthday.
Reunited with Scott Bakula. So he's 79 years old.
Happy birthday, Dean Stockwell. You're 79 years old. Hey, you know what? On Pride48.com, we have a bunch of birthdays lined up there. I have Q in the Minnesotas, whose birthday was on the 9th. We have the Lord of Hate, or actually just Lord of Hate, whose birthday was on the 11th of March. And Amy Coles and Mike Lawson and Kirian Umbra all share the 19th of March as their birthday. If you see any of those folks bebopping around online, make sure that you tell them a happy birthday, as it were.
Happy birthday to all of you.
And ever shall be. Amen. Hey, I want to talk to you about a show, but let's get out of this segment.
Great job! Thank you so much for helping me sing my way to La Fiesta. Couldn't have done it without you. See you soon. Hasta luego.
Bye, Dora.
Okay, so I didn't talk about this in the first part because I forgot to write a Trello card for it. So I'm going to now give you the choice, Adam Burns. We are outside of our segments. Now, we are not in a segment at the moment. We are floating in the space between segments. I don't even know what you call that, like segment space or something like that. Anything could happen at this point in time, but I'm just going to ask you this question. Oh, shit. Hold on a second. Okay. I have to just take this call real quick.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Dubious Intent Death Phone. I would like to report a death. This is Spanky Me Arthur.
Yes.
And I would like to report the death of Warlord Zayla, who died just a few moments ago in Upper Black Hawk Spire. All right. Thanks.
I don't believe that's a celebrity.
But it was very amusing. So, yes, a server first of Warlord Zebra, I believe. I forget what her name was. I already forgot.
Zayla. Z-A-E-L-A.
Yes, there was a world's first of downing of that. It was the boss. Blackrock Spire is the most recently opened raid in World of Warcraft, World of Draenor. And so, anyway, yes, very clever, Matt. Thank you very much for that. So, Adam, here's my question. I wanted to ask you this question. There was a TV show that you were excited about seeing, so much so that I decided that I would record it and watch it too. And I'm, of course, speaking of CSI Cyber, which just sounds like something somebody would want to do, like on a message board or something. Hey, do you CSI Cyber? And I watched it, and I have some opinions on it, and I know that you might have some opinions on it. Now we've already finished all those segments and everything. So, did you want to talk about it this week, or did you want to put it off and talk about it next week? Did you want to give the show another week to marinate in your brain, or did you want to talk about it now? I'm just totally up to you.
I think we could let it marinate for a week.
All right, let's slap it up on the Trello then, and all we right. will talk about it next week. And that means that we are now out of our, what do they call it? The interstitial. Okay. Yeah, let's go into this segment.
3, 2, 1. Contact is the secret, is the moment. When everything happens, contact is the answer, is the reason that everything happens. Contact. Let's make contact.
Excellent. We do have a voicemail that we were going to play. No, is it a voicemail?
Yes.
Yes, we do have a voicemail that we're going to play this evening. However, I wanted to take this moment, because I keep forgetting to do it at the top of the show, even though there is a card in the Trello. I do want to... at the beginning of every show, you hear us do the previously on Dubious Intent, and then we select a clip from...
A riveting clip.
A riveting clip from a previous show, blah, blah, blah. That's our new shtick. However, there are people that have recorded these for us, and I keep forgetting at the beginning of every show to acknowledge the person that has recorded. So I wanted to say a very special thank you to Moose P, who recorded our very first one. That was followed by the second week, which was... I've already forgotten who was the second week. I have to go back and double check.
But Mark and Ed?
No. The third week was Vera Charles, the one and only Auntie Vera Charles. The fourth week was Mark and Ed. And then this week, just now, was Taylor the Latte Boy from Pod is My Co-Pilot. And if you, we do have other ones all lined up and ready to go, and we will go through them. You know, we will, hopefully I will remember to thank them each week. However, if you would like to be at the beginning of our show, all you have to do is send us a recording of you going previously on Dubious Intent Plus. And you don't have to screw it up like I just did. You can just say previously on Dubious Intent Plus. And that's all you have to do. A real easy little recording that you can send to us, and we've got some heavy hitters there coming up. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We have super fan of the show, Ethan, is on deck.
We do.
He's only 4. That's that. We get him. We get him young. All right, here we go.
We recruit.
We recruit.
At young ages.
I got a toaster for that one. All right, here we go. Voicemail coming in here from Turniphead. Let's listen to what he has to say, shall we?
Hey, boys. It's Turniphead calling. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I just wanted to clarify and point something out. When I called to say that Leonard Nimoy had not died and it was a hoax.
Yes.
It was a hoax. He had only gone to the doctor or the hospital rather, and had not died yet. But the internet blew up with, oh my God, Leonard Nimoy is dead. It wasn't until a couple days later that, yes, it was the unfortunate passing of our hero Spock. But check your timestamps. And yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I was fully aware that he didn't die, and it was a hoax, and then he unfortunately did pass. All right, cheers. Thanks, boys. Take care.
You know what, Turniphead? If only you had a... If only you had a La Crosse Technology digital wall clock like I did, that you could take a picture in front of yourself with to prove the time and date that you made that phone call.
Well, look, first of all, the way it works, Turniphead, is if you call us during the week, at any point during the week, and make a statement like that, and then we get to the show and that statement that you made is not true, then we're going to make fun of it. You know, sorry. If you'd have called back in and said, oh, shit, now he really died, you know, before, you know, before I was correct. But you didn't do that.
Right.
You didn't do that.
Now, on the side note here, now, had you called
in. How can I confirm a hoax as well?
Well, also, had you called in early and said that he had died before he had actually died, that would not count. Because we would have seen that the time and date stamp were before he actually died. So just when I'm just saying, when Betty White goes into the hospital, I don't want a whole bunch of calls saying she's dead just because she went into the hospital, like trying to hedge your bet and say, oh, look, I was early. I pegged that 3 weeks ago. Anyway, so thank you very much, Turniphead. We do appreciate it. You know, we love you. You're our favorite Canadian. I just assume that, you know, Canada is so much further ahead of us that you just knew it ahead of us.
Could be.
This seems really light.
So remind me when your birthday is again?
The 28th of March, Adam. The 28th of March is my birthday. Just in case, you know, in case you wanted to get me, so you don't have to get me anything. But well, in case you I love Amazon gift cards. Those are amazing. And if you're just not the gift card kind of person, I do have an Amazon wish list. That's all I'm saying.
Well, there's I don't know. Yeah, Mark and I were driving by this place. There's this new place called Audio. Oh, I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, we went in there.
Yes.
It's one of those places that installs different things in your car.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Do you still drive Joe in Dallas?
I do. I still drive my car Joe in Dallas.
I'm really into LED lights right now. And they have all these LED accessories that you can add to your car.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're into that, but they even have the tire things that you, and they have LED in them, and they change color as your wheels. The faster you go, the more color.
Yep.
So all I was thinking is maybe I could get you some birthday rims.
DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus, 229-234-7587, or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com.
That is a thing, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Not birthday rims, but yeah, the little spinny LED things. Yes, I know.
Yeah, they're cool. I would put LED if I didn't think I'd look really ghetto.
You mean in your sports car?
On my sports car.
In your sports car.
I'd love to have like the under mounted blue LED. You know, that you glow as you drive down the road.
Hey, you know what, Adam? Only 228 more days until Pride 48, 2015 in Las Vegas. And we hope to see... No, I'm sorry. That's still BlizzCon. Ah, shit. I got the wrong number. Anyway, it's not that far until Las Vegas. We'd like 6 months, but we're going to... Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.